The thing about Elon during this chapter of his life is that he wasn't simply running companies. Presently, he was reshaping public spaces, rewriting social rules, and taking direct control of platforms that billions reckoned on. By the time he perfected the purchase of the social media mammoth Twitter in 2022, he was formally walking into a storm. The deal had dragged through suits, public arguments, blurted textbooks, and a shifting request that made every step heavier. When he eventually walked into the headquarters carrying a non-fictional Gamora, critics rolled their eyes, sympathizers laughed, and workers still wondered if they were watching the launch of a revolution or a slow-stir structural collapse. He moved presto, too fast for numerous inside the structure. Elderly directors were dismissed within days. Entire departments were dissolved, programs rewritten, verification systems caught. Some saw urgency and boldness. Others saw chaos. But Musk wasn't navigating the company like a traditional CEO. He was treating Twitter the way he approached rockets, electric buses, and covers: break it piecemeal, push limits, test, pretest. Move briskly, then the critics can class their coming tweet. That was always his system: act now, upgrade laterally. The world just wasn't used to seeing that kind of engineering gospel applied to a global social platform. The counter-reaction was immediate. Advertisers broke juggernauts. Governments issued warnings. Intelligencers wrote necrologies for the platform on a daily basis. But Musk wasn't stepping back. He'd a vision of Twitter as a digital city square powered by freer speech, smaller restrictions, and constant replication. Whether people agreed or dissented was and his main concern. What signified to him was that the platform evolved. That meant trials, reversals, relaunches, and sometimes public miscalculations played out in front of hundreds of millions of people. Through all of this, he no way stopped twittering. In fact, he twittered more, responding to druggies directly, joking with pixies, arguing with politicians, posting memes at 3 a.m. and making major company adverts in the same place people were participating cat vids. Critics called it reckless. Sympathizers called it transparent. But for Musk, it was simply the way he operated. He didn't like filtered communication, mediators, or polished commercial statements. He wanted raw commerce and immediate feedback, indeed if it created firestorms. Inside Tesla and SpaceX, workers were conforming to this new reality too. They were used to Musk being controversial, but now his social media opinions were bleeding into how the public judged every other company he touched. Tesla's stock changed hectically as investors batted whether he was stretching himself too thin. SpaceX workers joked that Twitter was getting a new kind of rocket, one that exploded every week but always got rebuilt. Indeed, the Boring Company felt the ripple, as Musk's public persona came thick from every business he ran. Yet despite the chaos, Tesla continued delivering vehicles at record figures. SpaceX kept launching Starships and Falcon rockets. With adding trustability, Starlink grew into a pivotal global structure network, especially during geopolitical conflicts. Musk's capability to divide public opinion didn't feel to decelerate down the specialized progress of the companies he led. That incongruity, contestation outside, performance inside, came one of the defining themes of this period. BYMID 2023, Twitter converted into commodity new X. The imprinting shift was abrupt, bold, and at times confusing. The blue raspberry was gone, replaced by a minimalist symbol that represented the everything app. Musk envisaged banking, messaging, videotape calls, content creation, payment systems, business tools, and long-form publishing. It was ambitious, parlous, and largely precious. But Ambition was the constant in Musk's life. When he looked at X, he didn't see what it presently was. He saw what it could come if he kept pushing hard enough. Not everyone participated his vision. Former workers blamed the internal pressure and pace. Intelligencers covered every misstep in real time. Politicians questioned safety, temperance, and influence. Musk faced legal battles, non-supervisory scrutiny, and public boycotts. But at the same time, X gained new generators, new communities, and new uses that didn't live ahead. The platform defied collapse despite multiple prognostications of its death. Rather, it came a symbol of Musk's intransigence and trial he refused to abandon. Throughout this time, Musk's particular life also evolved. He raised multiple children, balancing motherhood with a workload that would overwhelm utmost people. He continued to appear at SpaceX launches, Tesla donations, and AI conferences. He invested heavily in artificial intelligence, strengthening his company working on maximally curious, maximally useful AI systems. He spoke openly about the pitfalls of AI, arguing that humanity demanded to make rails before it erected superintelligence. All these pieces, spaceflight, electric buses, covers, AI, satellites, and now the digital public forecourt, formed a mosaic of a man who no way breaked down. Indeed, when the world prayed him to. Indeed, when investors complained. Indeed, when his own workers wished for a quieter plant. Musk thrived in turbulence. He always had. This chapter of his life didn't change that. However, it amplified it, if anything. By the end of episode 34's period, Musk stood at the center of multiple global diligence, energy, transportation, aerospace, telecommunications, and digital communication, all while navigating further public review than at any former point in his career. And yet, he remained surprisingly calm in interviews, averring that everything he was doing had a purpose. The intriguing part is that whether people agreed with him or not, they couldn't look down. Every decision sparked a response. Every advertisement shaped a discussion. Every misstep turned into a caption. Musk wasn't just sharing in history during this period, he was laboriously steering it, occasionally messily, occasionally brilliantly, but always forward. And he wasn't done. However, the turbulence of the Twitter to X metamorphosis marked the morning of a new phase in his story, one defined by reinvention, threat. If anything, the thing about Musk during the X transition is that he wasn't simply rebuilding a company, he was rewriting how he believed digital communication should work. And he was doing it intimately, stubbornly, and with the kind of intensity that made indeed seasoned directors uneasy. By this time, people around him had learned one rule: when Elon locked onto an idea, everything additional bent around it. X wasn't just a rebrand, it was a protestation of war on the old armature of the internet, a signal that he wanted to produce commodity that blended payment systems, social commerce, identity layers, and entertainment. A new digital chime. A new digital frugality. Or at least that's how he described it to anyone willing to hear long enough. But while he was mapping out ambitious product ecosystems, the world was fixated on commodity important. Simpler, his jest, his late-night posts, his jokes, his fights, his undressed commentary. For the first time in his career, Elon Musk's name was appearing in captions not because of a rocket launch or an advance, but because of political arguments or temperance difficulties. And that shift made the entire elaboration of his public presence more complicated. People didn't just debate his companies. They batted him, his motives, his values, his worldview. Some saw courage. Others saw chaos. Inside X, workers faced a kind of pressure that many tech workers ever endured Musk had set new prospects speed above comfort, replication above stability, honesty above tactfulness. Brigades were reorganized overnight, product prototypes were greenlit in hours rather of months, and the meter of work felt more like a launch preamble than a software sprint. Those who acclimated came part of a small group that thrived under him, tight-knit, intensively pious, amped by the challenge, but others burned out snappily. It wasn't a place for people who demanded predictable schedules or clear boundaries. It was a place for people who believed that erecting the everything app was worth the turbulence. Meanwhile, Musk's other companies were watching X from the sidelines with a blend of concern and recreation. At Tesla, masterminds joke that their master had acquired a new playground. At SpaceX, workers joke that if X failed, they could always shoot it to Mars as a gallery piece. But beneath the humor, there were real questions. Would X distract him? Would it drain his time, his energy, his focus? Musk tried to assure them that every company remained his precedence, though no bone knew how he was managing to juggle so numerous complex operations at formerly. Indeed, his closest counsels admitted they did and understand how he resolved his attention without collapsing. During this period, Musk also doubled down on artificial intelligence. He'd long advised that AI could come the most dangerous invention humanity ever created, not because machines abominated us but because they might optimize commodity we no way meant them to. Yet he didn't want to sit on the sidelines while others erected the future. He wanted to shape it. He wanted to produce a form of intelligence that aligned with mortal curiosity, creativity, and values. That provocation led to the birth of a new AI adventure, one erected not from fear, but from the belief that the only way to keep the unborn safe was to share in it laboriously. Musk assembled experimenters, proponents, and masterminds, pushing them toward improvements that challenged the boundaries of machine jest. What's intriguing is that people didn't always fed how integrated Musk's gambles were getting. His AI exploration told independent driving at Tesla. His satellite networks supported connectivity during global heads. His experience spanning manufacturing shaped Starship designs. His neural technology work pushed him deeper into debates about biology, knowledge, and mortal addition. And now his power of X gave him a position in the most crowded space of all global communication. Each company was end a separate chapter. They were lapping layers of a single, sprawling vision. One where energy, transport, intelligence, and communication fed into each other. But the noise girding him made it harder for the world to see that bigger picture. Politicians indicted him of applying too important influence over public converse. Observers questioned whether billionaire power of communication platforms hovered republic. Governments wanted tighter rules. Advertisers wanted assurances. Activists wanted stronger temperance. Musk pushed back against all of it, averring that free expression needed discomfort and that the cure for misinformation was in repression but further speech. Whether he was right or wrong is still batted, but his conviction was absolute. Indeed so, he was ent vulnerable to the pressure. Musketeers noticed changes small bones but conspicuous. He slept indeed less. He spent further nights inside Tesla manufactories or SpaceX engineering kudos. His schedule came nearly inhuman. He moved through meetings with the urgency of someone who believed time was running out. And in quieter moments, when he was in performing for cameras or speaking to crowds, he occasionally admitted that he felt like he was carrying too numerous futures at formerly. But also he'd shake it off and return to work with the same intensity as ahead. Despite this, he kept raising children, trying to balance motherhood with a life that didn't leave important room for stillness. He talked to them about wisdom, mathematics, and responsibility. He showed them rockets launching and manufactories humming. He told them why humanity had to reach Mars, why I signified, why energy demanded to be sustainable. He was end trying to fester them into clones of himself. He was trying to give them a sense of scale, a sense that their lives, too, could stretch across the sky if they chose to. As the world argued about him, Musk stayed hung up with one patient idea: humanity was drifting into complacency. We were too comfortable, too distracted, too willing to assume that progress would continue without trouble. For Musk, the story of civilization wasn't a guarantee. It was a race. And if the world broke down, he believed we might lose ground permanently. That belief, perhaps, further than anything differently, explained the speed and intensity of his opinions. By late 2024, and into the times that followed, X began sluggishly stabilizing. Not into what it had been, but into commodity new, part social platform, part business, part broadcast network, part public forecourt. Some features flopped, others flourished. Musk accepted failure as part of the process. He always had. He wasn't looking for perfection. He was looking for instigation, movement, line. That was the mastermind in him, the part of his brain that valued vectors further than opinions. And while public debate raged around him, while shareholders fretted and critics stoned their arguments, Musk kept showing up in places where it signified. He stood at Starship test launches, watching prototypes soar and occasionally explode. He voyaged Tesla manufactories at dawn, examining product lines by hand. He pushed Neuralink into trials that challenged ethical, medical, and philosophical boundaries. And through all of it, he kept posting on X, as undressed as always, refusing to borrow the polished distance of utmost CEOs. That was the contradiction that defined this chapter: a man leading some of the world's most advanced engineering systems while carrying online like someone who refused to take himself too seriously. A genius erecting the coming generation of spaceflight structure who also posted memes about it. A billionaire shaping the global AI race who still argued with arbitrary druggies at night. The contradiction didn't weaken him, it made him insolvable to ignore. And that, further than anything, explains why. Indeed, his harshest critics set up themselves watching nearly. Musk was ent predictable. He was ent polished. He was ent quiet. But he was erecting effects at a scale that forced the world to pay attention. As episode 34 reaches its midpoint, what becomes clear is that he was entering a phase where his companies weren't just impacting diligence, they were shaping geopolitics, digital identity, mercenary communication, renewable energy networks, and humanity's long-term survival strategies. Whether people loved or abominated him didn't change the line he was sculpting. He kept moving forward, pulling the world with him, reluctantly or else. And despite the chaos swirling around him, Elon Musk was indeed close to decelerating down. By the time this chapter of his life unfolded, Elon was juggling further influence than nearly any other figure in technology. The pace he set would have broken utmost people, but he kept operating as if urgency was a natural state, moving from extremity to conference, from plant bottom to launch pad, from boardroom debates to late night posts on X. To understand him during this stretch, you have to understand that his world was erected around stir. Stillness no way suited him. When the world broke down, he sped up. When it demanded caution, he leaned into threat. And when critics claimed he pulled back, he stepped forward harder. That meter defined every decision he made during the times. After transubstantiating Twitter into commodity entirely different inside his companies, the atmosphere shifted depending on which adventure you looked at. At SpaceX, masterminds were no longer treating Mars as a dream, they were treating it as a destination with a timeline. Starship wasn't just a bigger rocket, it was the backbone of a planetary plan. Musk pushed brigades relentlessly, walking through the product kudos in Texas with the same intensity he'd 20 times before when Falcon 1 kept failing. The difference now was scale. Back also, they were fighting to survive. Now they were fighting to push humanity into a multi-planet period. The pressure didn't lighten, it simply evolved. The line of Starship tests came commodity the world watched with a strange blend of admiration and dread. Some launches ended in explosions. Others ended in improvements. And Musk treated both issues the same way data. He didn't get novelettish about failures. He celebrated them. He pushed brigades to move briskly each time. He asked questions until people ran out of answers, also pushed them to find better bones. That dubiousness trickled down through every department, shaping a culture where forward stir was more important than perfection. And sluggishly, inescapably, Starship breakouts began to look less like trials and more like way in a design. At the same time, Tesla was entering one of its most complex ages. Demand was shifting, challengers were still catching up, and the electric vehicle geography that Tesla formerly dominated unquestioned now had dozens of serious contenders. Musk claimed they were not contending with auto companies, they were contending with fossil energies. That framing changed how Tesla operated. It was not about dealing buses, it was about speeding up energy transition. As manufactories gauged in Germany, China, and the United States, Musk kept pushing for further robotization, more perpendicular integration, and further advancements to battery capacity. He spent nights sleeping on plant bottoms again, a habit he fell back into whenever product backups hovered deadlines. And while the world argued about his opinions at X, Tesla still pushed forward. With autonomy, the coming generation of full-tone driving software began rolling out to test lines, rewriting how buses interpreted the world. Musk claimed they were close to working autonomy. Critics were end-induced. Controllers demanded caution. But Musk stayed ray concentrated, averring that a future of zero-accident transportation was worth pushing the limits for. That belief made him both visionary and controversial, occasionally at the same time. Meanwhile, Neuralink started transitioning from theoretical improvements to real mortal trials. The public replied with a blend of seductiveness and solicitude. Musk, for his part, argued that brain-machine interfaces weren't about replacing humans but about healing them, restoring mobility, restoring memory, restoring freedom to those whose bodies had betrayed them. He visited labs late at night, asking questions, absorbing exploration, challenging hypotheticals. To him, the brain was and sacred in the mystical sense. It was sacred because it held the substance of mortal possibility. And if technology could expand that possibility, he believed it should. Also, there was his AI adventure, born out of equal corridor frustration, concern, and ambition. Musk had been advising about advanced AI for times. But those warnings converted into creation. He wanted systems that were helpful, curious, and aligned with mortal values. He wanted translucency, honesty, and safety erected into the core. And he wanted competition, not to crush rivals, but to help any single company from sewing up intelligence. That station put him at odds with some of the biggest players in the field, but pressure no way bullied him. It motivated him. Through all of this, the public narrative around Musk remained disunited. Sympathizers saw an ultra-modern innovator pushing the boundaries of what civilization could do. Critics saw a reckless billionaire with too important influence. Some believed he was accelerating humanity's stylish future. Others believed he was hanging its stability. Musk knew this. He was anti-list to the review. But he'd long agone. Stop trying to please people. His metric for success was ant blessing it was progress. Yet, intimately, he felt the weight of it all. He did ant show it frequently, but those closest to him noticed the signs quieter moments during breakouts between manufactories, the way he goggled out the window during late night drives, the prostration that crept into his voice after back-to-back meetings that lasted 16 hours. Liabilities had multiplied, prospects had grown heavier, and the scale of what he was trying to do had expanded beyond anything indeed he'd tried ahead. Still, his instinct was to keep going. When effects got loud, he worked. When they got chaotic, he worked more. The man who formerly said he'd rather be laboriously erecting the future than watching it unfold stayed pious to that gospel. Whether or not the world agreed didn't change the machine inside him. He'd globes to reach, grids to rebuild, intelligence to steer, and a digital city forecourt to reshape. But the deeper verity of this period is that Musk didn't operate out of pride as numerous assumed, he operated out of urgency. He believed humanity was running out of time on two numerous fronts: environmental, technological, artistic. He believed space was the safety stopcock. He believed energy transition wasn't negotiable. He believed AI alignment could shape the fate of the species. Whether he was right or wrong, he put himself in the center of those battles because he didn't trust anyone differently to push as hard as he would. Meanwhile, the people in his route were conforming. Some flourished under his intensity. Others burned out. Some respected him. Others stressed cheating him. But all of them knew they were part of commodity larger than a company. They were part of a force that was reshaping the world in real time. And whether they agreed with every decision or not, they couldn't deny one thing: Musk pulled diligence into stir, energy, aerospace, bus, AI, digital dispatches, biotech, all of them shifted because he pushed. By the close of this occasion's timeline, Musk stood at a crossroads. Starship was moving toward its first completely successful orbital cycle. Tesla was preparing coming generation vehicles. X was stabilizing into the early shell of the everything app he envisaged. Neuralink was approaching its first major mortal data mileposts. AI models were accelerating. And yet, he still spoke as if everything was fragile. As if the future could collapse with a many bad opinions or a many slow times. That sense of fragility, of civilization being commodity that demanded constant defense, was one of the crucial forces shaping him at this stage. He was ent erecting for comfort. He was ent erecting for character. He was erecting for survival. His companies were end glories. They were tools. And the world, whether willing or not, had come part of his route.